Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is the seventh tape in the series entitled The Divine Consciousness of the Jew, recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York.
Good morning to all. We are at the beginning of Perek Beis of Tanya. After the conclusion of the first Perek, where the author, Rabbi Shneur Zalman, the Alter Rebbe, discussed and analyzed, although briefly, the first soul and consciousness that exists within the Jew, termed the Nefesh HaBahamitz, the animal soul, or the Nefesh HaChiyunis, the vital soul, he now goes on to discuss and analyze the second soul, the second nefesh that exists within every Jew, which is termed the nefesh ha'alakis, the godly soul, the divine soul. Perek Beis. V'nefesh ha'shenis b'Yisrael hichelek alakam imal mamash. The second soul of the Yid, of the Jew, is chelek alakam imal mamash. It's truly a part of Hashem above. As the Pasuk says in Parshas Bereishis, Perek Beis, Pasuk Zayin, Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim. And he, Hashem, blew into his nostrils a soul of life, a nishmat chayim. This refers, of course, to the creation of Adam HaRishon, the first human being. The Pasuk says over there in Parshas Bereishis, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es ha'adam ofer min ha'adama, vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim vayihi ha'adam lenefesh chaya, which means Hashem formed Adam, man, from the dust of the earth. He blew into his nostrils a soul of life, and man became a nefesh chaya, a living creature. In addition to that, he quotes another statement, va'ata nafachta bi, which means, you blew it into me. This is a statement that we say every morning, including this very Sunday morning, in Birchas HaShachar, taken from Masechet Brachos, Daf Samach, Elokai Neshama Shenasata Bi. My God, the soul that you have given into me is Tahirihi, it's pure, Ata Barasa, you have created it, Ata Yitzarta, you have formed it, Va'ata Nafachta Bi, you blew it into me. So we have two sources where we see that the idea of the neshama, of the soul that exists within the human being, came, so to speak, from a blow of Hashem. Either vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, he blew it into his nostrils, or atana fachtabi, you blew it on into me. What is the significance of blowing? So he continues, k'meshekasav bezayar, as it is written in the Zohar, which is the most fundamental and basic text in the Kabbalah, authored by the Tanna, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, and his students. So the Zohar says, Man de nafach mitoichei nafach. This is an axiom, a dictum. He who blows, blows from within him. Mitoichei nafach. He blows from within him. What is the meaning of the statement? Pirush, that is to say, mitoichei yusay u mipnimi yusay. From his inwardness and his innermost being. Blowing is not an external expression of the human body. Rather, it is mitechiyusayu mipnimiyusay, from his inwardness and his innermost being. Shetechiyus upnimiyus achayas shaba'adam maitzi binifichasi bekayach. For it is of his inward and innermost vitality that a man emits through blowing with force, which is the reason why blowing tires a person much more quickly than speaking. Speaking can continue for many minutes, and many people can talk without stop for many hours. It's no problem. But blowing is not so easy. Blowing, you can do it for 10 seconds, for a minute, 2 minutes, you'll become tired finally. Some people can do it more. But it tires out a person. What is the difference? Both in speaking and in blowing, the ear and oxygen from the inside of the person is emitted through one's mouth. But nevertheless, the vitality and the energy that a person imbues in the blowing is far more deeper and stronger and more powerful than speaking. Therefore, you can go on, talk, not forever, but for a significant amount of time. Which reminds me of the story of the rabbi who was giving the sermon and was just non-stop. He continued 1 hour after another hour after a third hour. And finally the congregation, you know, after all said and done, with all the respect they had towards the rabbi, it was impossible anymore. So one person after another person begun evacuating the synagogue. Besides one, finally everyone left. Besides one individual decided to stay out of respect. So he was the only one there. Finally, the rabbi concluded the sermon. He goes over to him and he says, I thank you very much for remaining here till I concluded, and I apologize for the long sermon, but what should I do? There was no clock on the wall. So the guy responds, he says, there was no clock, but there was a calendar. So speaking you don't get tired of. But blowing is teichius apnimius adam. It comes from the inside of the person. So what is the idea over here? It's a metaphor, of course. When you say Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim ve'ata nafachta bi, Hashem is not a corporal existence, doesn't have a body, doesn't have the image of a body, chas v'shalom. So when we talk, when we say the word blowing, he blew into his nostrils a soul, or you blew it into me, it does not have any physical meaning or significance. Rather, it's an anthropomorphism, which is when we use human attributes to explain a certain aspect of the divine reality. What does the pasuk want to say with Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim? That the soul, the nishmas chayim, is connected to the depth of the divine reality, which is a significant difference between every single other existing creature or being and the soul of the Jew. Regarding the entire world and everything contained in it, the Mishnah says, "Ba'asara ma'amaris nivra ha'olam." The world was created through 10 utterances. Doesn't say through Hashem blowing, through Hashem speaking. Or the pasuk says, "Bidvar Hashem shamayim nasu." The heavens were created through Dvar Hashem, v'ruach piv kol tzva. So usually the term dibur is referred to as the means which Hashem employed to create the world. Regarding the neshama, however, the pasuk uses the term vayipach. What is the difference? Dibur explains, yes, of course, the entire world was created by Hashem. But nevertheless, it's an expression, so to speak, and it comes from the external reality of the divine. Versus the neshama is rooted, its origin is in the internal essence of the divine reality. And this is the significance both of the Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim and the Va'ata nafachta bi. And therefore he explains that the nefesh hasheinis b'Yisrael is unique in this aspect. Parenthetically, although he does not say this explicitly in this perek, but this is discussed elsewhere in Tanya, there is an additional difference between uttering and blowing. In addition to the first difference, where speaking expresses an external dynamic of the human being and blowing an internal aspect of him, an additional difference is that regarding the entire universe, it says that Hashem's utterance created a world. Created an animal, created stones, whatever it created. So the physical creation or spiritual creation is an embodiment, is a physical articulation of the divine utterance. But the divine utterance itself, that is not the world. The world was created and is sustained by the divine utterance. But the utterance and the world are two distinct realities. Over here, the pasuk is not saying that Hashem's blow created a soul. The blow, that is what the soul is. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. Hashem blowing into his nostrils, that is the soul. Yeah. Which means that the soul is the actual blow of Hashem. And what is a blow? A blow is the significance, it's a parable, for something of his pnimius. of the pnimius, of the internal essence of the divine reality. And that itself becomes the neshama. It's not that from that another creature comes out, which is called the neshama. That itself is articulated and embodied in the neshama. Which means, in addition to the first difference, that the entire world and everything contained therein comes from the utterance of the divine, which is an external aspect, and not from the internal essential aspect of the divine. That's one difference. Furthermore, even the fact that the world comes from the external aspect, it's not that the external divine reality becomes the world. It creates a world, but the world is something else. It's something secondary, additional. Versus by the neshama, not only does it come from the internal aspect of the divine reality, but that internal essence, that is the soul, that is becomes articulated within the soul of the Jew. Not within, but actually that is the soul. That's the idea of a yipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. Of course, the entire Tanya is based on the pasuk in the title page, which might be quite familiar to the participants over here already. Kikare ve'lecha davar ma'od. B'fichel avavchala ha'seisei. Moshe Rabbeinu says that Torah mitzvahs is very near to you in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. We discussed at length the significance of this pasuk and how it becomes the central motto and theme of the entire book of the Tanya. So to explain the connection of this statement and the content of this perek to this pasuk is quite superfluous, because it is only this statement that allows the person to understand, relate, and achieve the demands and the message of the Tanya. The Tanya comes to the Jew and tells him, listen, we talk about Hashem, we talk about Hashem's reality, we talk about Kedusha, we talk about the divine reality. This exists within you. Every single Jew, by the virtue of him being Jewish, contains within himself a godly consciousness, a divine soul, a soul which the reality of the soul, what lies at the core and the heart of the soul, is not an earthly, mundane, human reality, but rather a divine reality. And this is a very real and true part of the human being that one cannot escape, defy, or deny. Every nefesh of every yid is a chelek aleikam imal mamish, which is an extremely central to the demands and to the message of the Tanya, that every single Jew possesses this chelek alekam imal mamash, and everyone can access it and tap into it and make it a vibrant, true, significant reality in his or her life. And it literally takes the Jew and lifts him and elevates him beyond the parameters of a limited, created universe. It imbues him of a divine reality, a divine spark. Now, the statement in the beginning of the Perek, V'nefesh Hashenis B'Yisrael, Hichelek Aleikam B'Mal Mamish, is a powerful statement. Hichelek Aleikam B'Mal Mamish, truly a part of Hashem above. So the actual term Hichelek Aleikam B'Mal is paraphrased from a pasuk in Iyov, in the beginning of Perek, Lamed Aleph. Iyov says, Bris karati la'enai uma esbeinin al psula. He laments. He says, Bris karati la'enai. I have created a covenant for my eyes not to look at negative things. Uma esbeinin al psula. I wasn't even contemplating a psula. A psula is a woman who even is not married. I did not go after her. I did not look after her. I tried to be a very moral human being. Stick to my own field. And he continues in Pasuk Beis, he says, but what is the lot, what is the part that I received as a reward of my deeds from Aleika, from Hashem, from above? What is the inheritance that I received from Hashem, again from above, from the heavens? Is not destruction for the wicked, aid is destruction, la'avil for the wicked, and v'necher l'fayel le'yavin, strange punishment to the workers of iniquity. So Iyov, who was one of the most dramatic figures of the Tanakh, laments about the fact that although throughout his entire life he strived to live a moral, perfected life, nevertheless, what was the chelik elikam imal, what was the portion he received as a reward for this from above. Misery, negativity, destruction, hunger, death of his family, as everyone knows the story of Eiv. So the Alter Rebbe over here paraphrases the words, the term chelik elikam imal, and uses it to describe and define the neshama, the nishmas chayim of a Jew. Now, due to the revolutionary statement, I would like to discuss for a moment the sources of this. For the Tanya, for the Alter Rebbe, and for Hasidic philosophy in general, in the Sharuch HaKadosh and Drush Gimel, in a section called Kavanas HaEfer, says, I quote, "Ha'adam nivra mechaymer v'tzura." A human being is created from a chaymer and a tzura, which means he's a combination of matter and spirit, matter and energy. Shehu nefesh v'ruach u'neshama, shehi chelik eleikam imal. Shenemar v'yipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. But he doesn't explain how you see it from the pasuk v'yipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, that it's a chelik eleikam imal. He just brings the pasuk to prove that the nefesh, ruach, and neshama of the human being is a chelik eleikam imal. More explicitly, it says in a sefer called Shefa Tal. Shefa Tal was a great Kabbalist whose name was Rabbi Shapsi Sheptel Horowitz. He lived in Prague, and he was a student of the famed mystic, one of the greatest in Jewish history, Rabbi Moshe Kardaviro, the Ramak. 16th century Tzfasian Mekubal, author of the Pardus, is his most famous sefer, but many more. And over there in the introduction, immediately when you open the Shefa Tal, the introduction, the Hagdama begins, Da, no. He commands you to know. Shahanashama shal umma Yisraelis. That the souls, Neshama Yisrael umma Yisraelis, the souls of the Jewish nation, Heim Chelik Eleikam Mimal. Again, are a part of Hashem above. Asher alzer ramaz ha-pasuk, ki chelik Hashem amai. Over here, he brings another pasuk. He says, this is the remez in the pasuk in Parshas Ha'azinu, Moshe Rabbeinu says, ki chelik Hashem amai yakev chevel nachalasai. So he interprets that to mean, chelik Hashem amai, that amai, his nation, are chelik Hashem, are a part of Hashem. And he continues, Ritzayinai leimar chelik mamish. The meaning in the pasuk is, it's not an exaggeration, it's not a metaphor, it's not a parable, it means chelik mamish, a true part, which the Alter Rebbe also emphasizes, chelik eleikam imal mamish, I mean it really, it's a serious issue. That's what the Shefa Tal says. He has another sefer, it's called Nishmas Shapsi Halevi, and over there in Shaar Dalet, he also explains this concept, discusses it at length, how the neshama is a chelik elikam imal. I'm sure many of you heard of the Reishis Chachma. It's one of the most basic books in Musar and Jewish ethics, written by Rabbi Eliyahu Dividash, also from Tzvas, a contemporary of the Ramak. In Reishis Chachma, almost a dozen times, Rabbi Eliyahu mentions the fact that the neshama is a chelik elikam imal. But one specific quote I want to share with you due to its similarity to this paragraph in Tanya, and that is in a sefer called from the Reishis Chachma Teitzas Chayim, section Kufay and Ches. He says, "Hinei noida hayoyis haneshama chelik b'menu yizbarach." It is known the fact that the neshama is a part of Hashem. Ka'emrei, as the pasuk says, "Ki chelik Hashem amay va'amar," and another pasuk says, "Va'yipach ba'apav nishmas chayim kol haneifeach me'atzmusay huneifeach." Whoever blows, blows from his essence. But the most direct statement in previous sources, which is almost word by word what the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, or the Tanya is word by word what that person says, is in a sefer. It's quite unfamiliar, but it's an interesting sefer. It's called Yosher Levav. This is also a very it's a Kabbalistic text written by Rabbi Amnuel Chayriki. He lived already in the 18th century, contemporary of the Baal Shem Tov. He has a very famous sefer called Mishnas Chassidim. His sefer, Yosher Levav, he writes, he says, the neshama, ha-neshama, is chelik eleika milmaila hi mamish, is mamish a part of Hashem above. Kidiksiv ba-adam arishin, like it says regarding Adam arishin. Shekol ha-neshama is b'nishmasei nitlu ki yadua, which all the neshamas, as known, were first hanging in his neshama. I'll explain that in a moment. But regarding him, it says, v'yipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. V'amru ha-mekobolam alza, the Kabbalist said on this pasuk, ki kol ha-neifeyach me'atzmusei hu neifeyach. Whoever blows, again, is emitting something from his essence. Because you may ask, the Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chayim doesn't refer to every Jew. It says regarding Adam Arishon, the first human being. But the answer is, as the Yaisha Levav points out, and is something very well known in the field of Jewish mysticism, that Adam Arishon's neshama was what's called a collective neshama. A neshama klolus. A neshama that was inclusive of all the subsequent Jewish souls of all the generations. We're all included in Adam Arishon's soul. In other words, you could say, just like physically, you'll talk about one body, which has many branches, offshoots, components, compartments, arms, legs, a heart, a brain, eyes, but nevertheless, they are all part of one single unit called the body. The same is true in the spiritual aspect of the human being, the soul, that all the souls of all the Jews were included and are offshoots and branches of the one inclusive soul of Adam Arishon. So the Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chayim includes every single Jewish soul in all subsequent generations, and thus the significance of the Vayipach, the blowing which denotes a relationship to the essence, to the Atzmusa Yunayfeyach of the divine reality, refers to every neshama. Yeah. Not they are included, but not this Nishmas Chayim which we're discussing, the Vayipach Ba'apav. This Nishmas Chayim, where it says, the Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chayim, this refers to Adam Arishon's Neshama, which encompasses all Neshamas Yisrael. Yeah. The human being, of course. The Jew. Alakai Neshama Shenasata Bi. It means, of course, what do you mean you're going to take it away? It means, of course, the time when the neshama leaves the body and returns to... Why is that a question of what I said? You're asking a general question on Birchas HaShachar. If the body is talking, so the body, you're saying, why can the body talk? Because it's a corpse. So you want the soul to be talking. So if the soul is talking, it's talking about itself like it would be another human being. Yeah. What do they say? The sign of someone getting old and senile when they talk about him in front of him as if he wasn't there. So, okay, that's a general question. And it's a very good question. I'm going to address a little later on in the shiur something similar, and that will answer that, B'derech Memela. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, granted. The problem in quotation marks is that we have another soul that's also a true soul. And it's also quite powerful. And that's the Nefesh HaBahamas. And that gives another perception of reality. So there's quite a struggle in one's life. So Moshe Rabbeinu has to say, Karav Eilecha Davar Moed. Yeah.
What happened to the special
generally speaking, the metaphor for that one can give is the root of a tree possesses within it all the different branches and offshoots, compartments and particles of the tree. But nevertheless, when you look at the root, It's indistinguishable. Over there, it's on a more abstract and less defined articulative level, although the differences are there, and later it comes out. The same is true historically speaking, although the difference of the Jew and the non-Jew in an articulate manner begun with Avraham, and even more articulate manner only with Matan Torah. Nevertheless, even in the first generations, it was there, but it was not as articulated and clear as it came out later with Avraham. By the way, the Arizal writes something very interesting. In Likutei Torah, La'Arizal on Tehillim Perek Lamed Beis, he says that if not of the Chet Tzadas, only Yidden would come out of the Neshama of Adam Arishon. Which answers your question, the Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chayim, when it happened, it was before the Chet Tzadas. That's when Adam was created. So the Arizal says that if not for the Chet Tzadas, the only neshamas that would come out of Adam HaRishon was neshamas Yisrael. Because the Vayipach Ba'ap of Neshmas Chayim in essence refers to this unique Nefesh HaLakis, which the non-Jew does not possess. Everyone possesses a spark of the divine. Everyone has divine vitality, but it's not the same divine spark. There are many differences, both in content, expression, in depth, in relationship, etc. So the Vayipach Ba'ap of Neshmas Chayim refers to the Yid. If not for the Chet, that would be the only thing. The Chet Tzadas imposed upon him and entered and brought into his life other levels of experience and reality. And from there came out the other nations of the world. Yeah. Okay, the question is, how did I say, in other words, how did I say no Jew can deny it when there are many Jews existing that do deny it?
I'm not saying they do. I'm just saying
okay.
If someone does deny it.
Slight correction.
Yeah.
What I meant, he does not deny is, of course, with one's mouth, one can say, I do not have a chelek alakami ma'al mamash. What I meant by denying is more in the sense of escaping it, or destroying it, or eradicating it. Yeah. Okay. No, I meant anthropomorphism means when you apply human or perhaps animal attributes to the divine reality. So blowing, Hashem doesn't have a mouth and he doesn't sit and blow and doesn't get tired from it.
What, for what purpose? To understand, to have an intellectual grasp.
Of the idea of blowing, yeah. Yeah.
It's an ongoing process that's going on. It's
mamish hazard. Mamish means that it is truly a chelik alakami mal.
Yeah, it's true, but Hashem is not just Hashem is also a part that he's also a process that it's going on. That right now, as we're speaking, as everything that's going on, Hashem is continually blowing into the creation.
Okay.
And one of the reasons perhaps.
Right. It's also, yeah, enachaname. Right. Let's continue. Kach al derech mashal neshamis Yisrael alu b'machshava. So too, allegorically speaking, Jewish souls have risen in the divine thought, Yisrael alu b'machshava, which is again another mashal, and this is this time from the Medrash. Bereishis Rabba Perek Bey says, six things were created prior to the creation of the universe. Two were created before the creation of the universe, and four were alu b'machshava lihibaris, have risen in the divine thought to be created. The first two are Torah and Kisei HaKavod. The final four are the Avos, Yisrael, Beis HaMikdash, and Shmoi Shel Mashiach. But I'll call upon him, number two of the last four is Yisrael. So Yisrael, alu b'machshava, they have risen in the divine thought. What is the significance of this? What is the mashal, the adalach mashal? What is the allegory? What's the difference between machshava and dibur again? There is thought of the human being and speech. Speech, in Chassidus, is the PR of the human being. It's the part of the human being that is revealed to others, to an external world, to an external reality. It does not convey or reveal the essence of the human being as he or she is for themselves. Machshava is, of course, something internal and essential, which is the person communicating with his very self, with his intimate self. It's interesting, also practically speaking, if you will ask a person to talk about weather, politics, sports, news, people can talk about it for 3-4 hours, no problem. Then ask someone to talk for a few moments about their intimate self, their deepest part. So I'm not talking about if they're embarrassed to convey that aspect to a second individual, that's another issue. But you'll see a person will struggle to discover the adequate words and terms to convey that part of themselves. Apparently, it should be the other way around. Politics, news, which is something external to us, over there you should have difficulty finding the words. No, over there it's free, you can talk about it for hours. But about your most intimate self, which you should be so well acquainted with, why do you grapple and struggle to find the adequate words? And the answer is, because words are limiting containers. They are limiting containers, they cannot define and articulate and convey a deeper aspect of intimate self, and therefore people from the beginning of history always created new terms and modes of language to express deeper things. The language of poetry, the language of music, and then there's the language of silence, the language of machshava. So machshava and dibur are two dynamics in the human existence. Dibur is ultimately external, machshava is internal. So Neshames Yisrael all over machshava is again another way of expressing the idea of Ayipach. Neshames are not rooted only in the divine speech, but furthermore in the divine thought. Kidiksiv, as the Pasuk says, Bni B'chayri Yisrael. In Parsha Shmos, Koyamar Hashem, Bni B'chayri Yisrael, Yidden is my firstborn son. The Jews is my, the Am Yisrael, the nation of Israel is my firstborn son. Another pasuk in Parashas Re'eh, Banim Atim LaHashem Elokeichem. You are children of Hashem your God. Banim Atim LaHashem Elokeichem. By the way, Bnei B'chayri Yisrael is a pasuk said before Matan Torah regarding the collective Am Yisrael. Banim Atim LaHashem Elokeichem after Matan Torah regarding to every single individual Jew. Banim Atim LaHashem Elokeichem. Plural. Again, over here we have the Jews being termed as Hashem's children. What is the significance of a child? So literally you'll say we're Hashem's children. He created us. A father creates a child. Parents create children. Furthermore, he gives us sustenance. He directs us. He's responsible for us. But Alter Rebbe takes it a step deeper and says that the analogy of the Jew as the child of Hashem actually is to be understood in terms of the physiological and psychological relationship that exists between a child and his father. And he explains, Pirush, that is to say, just as a child is derived from its father's brain, so too, Kivayachel, which means to use an anthropomorphism, the soul of every Jew is derived from Hashem's thought and wisdom. So what is the definition of a child? Nimshach mimaya cha'av, comes from the brain of the father. Which means, in other words, that the relationship of a father and a child is not only a physical one. We're a part of the physical body of the father, becomes the source and the origin of the life of the child. But rather, there is a relationship where they are connected in spiritual psyche and character to the extent where the child is rooted in the essence of the father's personality. So, despite the fact that of course there becomes a physical semen and then leaves the father's body, which creates a separate child, which is a distinct, separate body. Nevertheless, in source, the child comes from a place where he was once upon a time inseparable of the father's essence. That is what creates the child, what is projected ultimately in what becomes the tipa that creates the child. Thus, even after the child becomes a separate entity, at the heart of its consciousness lies an inescapable truth that this is his father. One second. Because although through many complicated journeys and voyages, etc., it becomes something else, but nevertheless, the son ultimately is part and parcel of the spiritual reality and entity of the father, of the ani, of the I, of the essence of the father. And if you would take the physical son and you'll trace it back to the source of this child, until its origin, it will ultimately meet and become one, actually, with the essence of the father. So the Alter Rebbe says, every Yid is a child of Hashem. Not only a Yid is something that Hashem creates, but rather it's a child, which is Nimshecha Memachshavta V'Chachmasa Yisbarach. At the heart and at the core of the soul of the Jew, Hashem is his father. Meaning the Neshama is not only something created by Hashem, something else created, but rather an expression of the divine reality itself. Yet, there is the aspect of the child that there is a second entity. The Neshama ultimately is a consciousness. It's a consciousness that exists within the human being, that has many manifestations and expressions and attributes and faculties. It conceives, it comprehends, it applies, it attracts, it rejects, it synthesizes. It endures, it bonds, it's devoted, and it's aristocratic. I just enumerated the 10 faculties of the soul. But nevertheless, what does it come from? Imachshavti v'chachmasi yisbarach. So all these three expressions used in Tanya. But for number one, vayipach. Number two, Yisrael alo b'machshav. Number three, that Yidden are children of Hashem. All are explaining the same message in different terms. One in the term of blowing, one in the term of machshav, and then finally in the term of calling the neshama a child. And that is that the nefesh hashenis b'Yisrael is a chelik aleikam imal mamash. Yeah, you want to ask something? Yeah.
Then he will be able to reflect more the Avinu.
Okay, again, let's wait a moment, a little for that. We'll discuss it later, yeah.
A couple of years ago in the New York Times, there was a report that there had been a discovery of an artery, some actual physical connection between the brain and the testes. They didn't know that it existed. But it was found a couple of years ago. I cut it out, in fact. I put it by Kanye I have at home. Uh-huh. If I find it, I'll bring it.
Okay,
back.
Very good.
It does exist.
Okay. Yeah. The kavayachal, he wants to know why it says kavayachal if it's chelik alakamim al mamish. The kavayachal is not that the neshama is nimshach. The kavayachal is using a term of machshava and chachma by Hashem. Yeah. In other words, or more clearly, kemeisha haben nimshach mimayach ha'av. So you want to make that same parable for the neshama and Hashem, so that's kavayachal. Because, of course, it's much different than in the physical aspect. Yeah?
Hashem is infinite. If it took all the neshama to be strong, what would that compare?
You're making a statement or you're asking a question? You want to know if all the neshamas would create Hashem's reality?
Would you have to be just a minuscule part of Hashem still? All the neshamas of Israel? Hashem is infinite.
And the neshamas are what? What does a chelik mean? Again, it's you're asking a good question, but we'll have to discuss that a little more. The idea of a neshama later in the parak, yeah. Does the fact that a Jew has two souls related to the Pasuk B'nei B'chayri Yisrael that the firstborn son gets a double portion, a double inheritance? Nice point, perhaps. Good point. I never saw that, but perhaps. But not Nefesh HaLekis. You mean Klipas Naiga has two aspects of it, Tayv and Ra? Okay. Yeah. The Kivayachal, I'm telling you, is to the Ben Nimshach and Mayach Av. That's a mashal. It's Kivayachal. It's anthropomorphic to understand how this is, how the relationship of the Neshama is with Hashem. What? Yeah. The Kivayachal is not referring to that. The Kavayachal is on using the previous mashal, the Gashmi is the Kamadal, to explain that. Right. And the Gemara, it's from the Gemara in Nida, the Aflamina, Kadosh Baruch Hu Naisim by Ruach and Neshama, yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah, now he continues, the Alter Rebbe, and he says, the Iyu Chakim Velabachach Meyidia. For he is wise, but not with the wisdom that is known to us. This is a statement of Tikkunei Zohar, the section called Pasach Eliyahu. Some people say it on Erev Shabbos before Mincha. Iyu Chakim Velabachach Meyidia. He is wise, he possesses the quality of wisdom, but not the wisdom that is known to us created beings. Why? Because Elohu V'chachmasa Yechad. In his case, he and his wisdom are one. In the human reality, the human condition, the human being, and the wisdom of the human being are two distinct components that are comprised. By Hashem, we say, Hu v'chachmasei echad, he and his wisdom are one. Hence, antu chakim, v'la b'chachma yediyah, he is wise, but not with wisdom that is known to us. Ukamer shekasav harambam, as the Rambam states this, Shehu hamada v'hu hayoideya chulu. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah in Perek Beis discusses Hashem's wisdom, and he uses the lashon. He says, "Hu hamada v'hu hayoideya v'hu hayadua."